Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one, the enemies whisper lies and let them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save, you alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 25th day of March, year 2018, and we've entitled today's program, An Upside Down World. Our guest today is Magnum 44 from Maryland, and he'll join me here in just a sec. Before we get into the meat of the matter, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. And speaking of Paleo-Hebrew, to my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. I also might add, Cumru Ambith, which is Welsh for Wales Forever. our ancient ancestors that came out of Palestine and traveled through parts of Europe and across the oceans and ended up in the Misty Isles, the remnant of who are in the hill country of Wales, where they have been for many, many centuries and still speak the native tongue, ancient Hebrew. We do want to remind you, we have a website where we post our archives of radio shows and other important information, archives of sermons. I have links there where you can get Wesley Swift, Bertrand Comparé, William P. Gale, and many others. Of course, links there to Pastor Eli, Pastor Steve, Andrew, and the rest of the crew here at Eurofolk Radio. So PastorDan.net. Also, I put news items there, etc. We want to give a hearty thank you and kudos to our listeners and those that support us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us the sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A little bit of a note here. When it says sins, remember, sin is violation of God's law, not man's law. Man's law has nothing to do with morality, nothing to do with right and wrong. In fact, more times than not, especially in this God-forsaken age we live in, man's law is counter to God's law or the common law. So keep that in mind. A couple quick quotes for you here, and then I'll get Magnum on the show here. This is a quote of the Jew Manny Friedman. Let's be honest with ourselves here, fellow Jews. We do control the media. Well, thank you, Manny. For once, a Jew telling the truth. Thomas Jefferson told us that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. I sure hope you men are paying attention. When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Our founding fathers told us resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, didn't they? Thomas Paine told us the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. Our enemy gains strength from our fear. What do you think the job of the propagandists in the media is? To maintain the fear, wouldn't you say? Lavoy Finicum, the rancher out west who was murdered by rogue elements of this government, so-called government we have today, they're actually a tyranny. It does not matter how it ends, it does matter how you stand. The Bible has a way of saying that as well, that you're not to worship your own life and that your works do go with you, folks. You know, the modern day church constantly wants to pound it down your throat that you can't be saved by works. Really? Let's see. The actual act of saving by Messiah is not related to works. That's true. But once that part is left, everything has to do with works. As in, be ye doers and not hearers only of the word. Does that make sense? The parables of the people that were given the talents. What happened to the guy that buried his talent, didn't do a damn thing with it? Last time I checked, it wasn't such a good outcome for him. Not compared to the ones that took their talents and did something with them. As in, your talents, ladies and gentlemen. Every single one of you has a talent of some sort or some kind. If you're not using it for the kingdom and for our Savior, then you are a do-nothing person. You have no works. And what's the word say about works? Oh, if there's no works, then your faith is what? Dead. You have no faith. Faith without works is dead. So if you think you're going to see the Father and you're going to go into the kingdom, but you haven't got any kind of talents, any kind of growth, any kind of resistance to tyranny to show the Father, I wouldn't want to be standing in your shoes. George Washington told us that when government takes away citizens' right to bear arms, it becomes the citizens' duty to take away government's right to govern. Well said, President George Washington, president and also commander of the militias and Continental Army. I hope you're paying attention to that as well. Okay, Magnum 44, I'm just going to call you Magnum from this point on, if you don't mind. Welcome to the program, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, and I appreciate you having me out here on this Palm Sunday, Pastor Dan, and kind of float where you want to take this conversation today with the upside-down world. I typically kind of touch on relationship issues and things that I'm seeing, and kind of as I make my way through this world here, you know, I've gone through my fair share of struggles, and if there's anything maybe I can get through to some folks, whether the men or the women, and I would like to encourage any of the female callers to not to call in a debate, but maybe share some thoughts, maybe point out where I might be going wrong, or maybe agree with the track that I'm on, but I'd like to encourage that today.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, Magnum, it's been quite a while since you've been on. We've got a lot of new listeners. It seems like EFR is posting new records as far as live listeners and downloads on a weekly basis. Our people, as the song by Lauren Daigle that we played at the beginning of the program, Come Alive, it seems like the Valley of Dead and Dry Bones is coming alive. But anyway, we do have a lot of new folks. Would you mind taking just a short period of time, and again, don't divulge any personal information, but you have an extensive resume. I've known you for many years, Magnum. And just so the people know from what perspective you're coming from, would you mind just kind of give it just a little short biography of yourself?
Sure, sure. Let's see. Last year, I closed out 27 years with the military. I did 2 years in the Army, followed by the 25 in the Navy and the Navy Reserves. I served 10 years on board submarines. Then, in my majority of my adult career, I've been in nuclear power, weather operations, or engineering. That's pretty much where I met you, Pastor Dan, as you know. But when it comes to relationships, I'm I'd say maybe a hopeless romantic. I have optimism. A lot of optimism, but that's even waning. But I have been married a couple of times. I've got 4 children, loved dearly. But it's been the last few years where I'm struggling with a couple of things that I started turning to the Bible and started really, really trying to find out why we are upside down. Because when you look at our world in general, the way I look at it is it starts, you know, with the family, and the families are self-destructing. So then you got to do the old why method, you know, why is this happening? You keep asking the question why. And it really comes down to is we've turned our, but we turned away from the Word of God, plain and simple, because Yahweh has given us an absolutely 100% successful plan for marriage. And I think because we've turned away from that, we've allowed a lot of influences, like our fourth wave feminism right now, that's come on board since 2012. I mean, it's doing a number on these families, and it's doing a number on us men, and there's nothing good coming out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you kind of left out a few things there. You're also a pilot, correct?
Oh, yes. I'm a private pilot flying 172 Skyhawks and Piper Cherokee Logs. Also, I'm also a drone pilot, drone instructor, and a program manager for the United States Navy for their antenna range. So, short and sweet bio there. But it's very active in aviation. I absolutely love it. And but yeah, it comes back to, you know, you want your whole world around you to kind of be healthy and so forth. And that's why when we were talking about today, the upside down world, great time to jump and talk about this.
Yeah, amen to that. And there's other things we could go into, but I don't want to sit here and take up all the time just going into your extensive background. The point I'm trying to get to the folks is I've had a long relationship as buddies with Magnum here, And what I want you to know is he's sincere, and he comes from a background of a military family. So we have a lot of empathy. Both of us are veterans for military and military issues. We have an empathy for law enforcement because I have family in law enforcement. I hate that term, law enforcement, police officers. I much prefer police officers. We come from that background. We also, of course, the biblical basis, but we've also been down the road quite a few miles together, working together and going through different things in our lives together. So this is a heartfelt discussion about the fact we've reached that point that was told us, I believe it was Ezekiel, it might have been Isaiah, but I can't remember now, that when everything would be upside down. The Bible's way of saying that was good would be called evil and evil would be called good. All right, well, that's obviously idiomatic expression for everything's out of kilter. You can't trust anything. Certainly the institutions that we grew up as boys, that we were told to trust, the clergy, schools, even in some cases parents and family, friends, the media, movies, medicine, your doctor, etc. All those things we've found out have been corrupted and basically are lying to us. So we're just trying to piece together this crazy mixed up world we live in and how we can set it right again. It reminds me a little bit that they had that, what was it called, March for Our Lives, which is a complete communist organized event, and it's typical. I want folks to go back to your Bibles and read the story about how the Christ-killing Jews orchestrated the murder of Yahshua, the Christ. Okay, how did they do it? Well, they couldn't kill him outright, because they don't ever like to do that, because too many lights would be shined on them. So they tried to besmirch him and catch him in violations of the law. Well, he beat him back on that, obviously. Well, then that didn't work. They couldn't discredit him in public. They couldn't discredit his reputation. So they tried to get the Roman Pontius Pilate to do it for him, and he found no fault in Christ. So they failed there. They tried to get the, quote, civil authorities to do it. So they brought him in. They had him betrayed and brought him into their own courts. Well, they couldn't actually find him guilty in their own courts, even though they held a mock trial. It was not a real trial. They held a mock trial. And again, they tried to get the Romans to follow through with punishment. They refused. And so what did they finally do in the end? When all the avenues they tried to murder the most innocent man that ever walked this earth, they whipped up the crowd to cry for Barabbas to be released and Christ to be crucified. And what did they do this weekend? They whipped up the crowds using emotionalism and the youth so that the weak-willed and weak-minded amongst us would kowtow to the wills or the whims of the communist Christ-killing Jews and demand that we disarm America. So nothing has changed in thousands of years. The Christ-killing Jews do it exactly as they did it to murder Messiah. They are now trying to set America up for its murder by the communists, the same way our cousins in Russia were murdered once they were disarmed 100 years ago during the Jewish Bolshevik Revolution. So can you see, Kent or Magnum, that we have... We're right back to square one. Nothing's changed, and they're still trying to do it the old-fashioned way, do the end of round when they can't get enough bribery and manipulation of the legal system to take out an enemy. Then they go through the back door and try to use the same exact tactics. I mean, that's the way I see it. How do you see it?
Well, the way I see it is if you don't learn from history, you're apt to repeat it, and that's exactly what's happening right now. How many people actually really do study history and so forth, and I know you bring a lot of historical fact to your shows, but if you're not educated, if you're not educating yourself, being awake, it's gonna happen again, and it doesn't take very much to lead a large group of people around by the nose, give them you know, whatever freebies that you want, get your crisis actors, what have you, and stir the pot to get your end agenda completed.
Amen. And I want folks to know something. This is all a serious business that we're talking about because we're close to bullets flying. I hope you understand that. David James here on EFR and Pastor Steve, Pastor Eli, all alluded to the fact that we're near the end of the run up to the final battle, folks. I hope you understand that. This is how serious this is. This is an in your face attempt to disarm the white Christian Americans. And the Antichrist Jew is behind it. Ted Nugent figured it out. Mel Gibson and his father figured it out. Many other prominent people have figured it out. Of course, the mainstream media, controlled by these same Zionist communist pig dogs, isn't going to tell you. But prominent people, and even now, regular people are starting to figure it out. And that's why they're panicking, just as the Bible says. The Antichrist, when he knows his time's running out, his anger will be great. Look at these people. They're not even trying to hide it. They got this complete retard, Hoag, who's not even for real. And they got him trumped. They got him being promoted by the Jewish media as some kind of spokesman to try to whip up the crowds to take away my constitutionally guaranteed God-given rights. And it's, so nothing new under the sun. This is in your face. This is a preemptive strike against us, knowing full well that the invasion and the imprisonment and death of the white Christians in America is right around the corner. So this is serious business. Just this morning, I had a brother who lives in Miami, came by and dropped off a full printed out copy of Florida Senate Bill 7026. And here, get a load how they name stuff today. I'm telling you, these people must think we're dumber than rocks. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act of March 2018. They always give it a sweet sounding name. And all I had to do is look at about 8 pages in this thing and I can tell you what it is. Again, a backdoor approach to gun confiscation. All kinds of verbiage in there to where who's going to decide whether you can own a weapon today? Oh, your government bureaucrats and the people in uniform with badges that do their bidding. Their private army. Some people call them cops, law enforcement, whatever, but it's the private army of the bureaucrats. Yep. So this verbiage, for those in Florida who know anything about the Baker Act, look how the Baker Act has been used. All right. Your neighbor has a peeve against you. The next thing you know, you got a knock on your door because of an anonymous phone call. That's all it takes. Next thing you know, you're in a hospital situation under 3 days of observation because of an anonymous phone call. That's how it's not always used that way, of course, but this is the stage it's been set. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like social services. You discipline your child and somebody doesn't like you yelling. All of a sudden you're called by social services and you're defending yourself when you were parenting and nothing went on, but you got to defend yourself.
Right. You're guilty until proven innocent. The Christian America has been turned upside down. That's the reason we picked the title for today. We have allowed government to get way too big. We have way too much law enforcement, way too many military, way too big of a Pentagon, way too big of a budget, way too many central banks, way too many lawyers, way too many bureaucrats in general. The answer to the problem is obviously get rid of government. All right. You got to knock government back to a small size the way the founding fathers intended. And if we don't do that very soon, we're all doomed, folks. Doomed. And I mean literally doomed. All right?
I'm sorry, they're jumping in there. Funny you mention that. It's like when you look at a marriage, I don't think a lot of people really realize this, especially in the United States, and I think England as well, and even Canada. When you go and you get a marriage certificate or a marriage license and you go and have your ceremony and so forth, people need to understand that this is a contract between three people, the man, the woman, and the state. And it is a legally binding contract so that anything from that marriage, children included, are owned by the state. That's why they can come in and take your children at will. The state can come in and divorce rape a man and give all the money, the house, the cars, the equity, everything over to the woman because they're legally part of this triad. It's not between a man and a woman the way the Bible is put out. Today, you've got that triad, and people need to understand that when they go to get married, it is better to have a private ceremony without the state and just write it in the Bible like the old days. But if you go through the normal means, absolutely, you've got the state as a third party on there, and they own what is come from the marriage, whatever comes from the marriage.
Yeah, amen to that. I learned that lesson early in my life. The first time I went through this thing called a divorce, and I realized then it was a joke. However, I give Father Yahweh credit. The Holy Spirit told me not to get another lawyer. Her lawyer wanted me to get another lawyer because she got tired of dealing with me. Because I would just tell her, look, I'm a fair man and I have common sense. I don't need a lawyer. I said, you draw up something that's fair, I'll sign it. I said, but if you're unfair, well, I'm not going to sign it and I'll continue to fight you. So it didn't end up costing me a hell of a lot. And I ended up giving more money to her and the family than the court ordered anyway. I was often bailed her out on credit card debt. I bought a car for her when she needed one. So here again, she was still my wife and the mother of my children. I did what I felt was right. I didn't need a court to tell me what to do. So here again, you're right. Keeping the state out of our affairs is paramount, especially today with the state being as corrupt as it is. So you're 100% right on that. And we see a phenomenon, Magnum, going on today. You call it MGTOW, which is out there. It's called Men Going Their Own Way, which is becoming a viral movement right now because men are fed up.
Absolutely.
Men are fed up with the modern day, especially here in America. So right now we're talking about America, but I think this is happening in a lot of the white nations. The men are fed up with the behavior of the women, and the fact that the court system is obviously slanted against them. And so now, I have to tell you, a lot of the warriors that I know are MGTOW men. They have pretty much abandoned the whole idea of relationships, marriage, children, the whole thing. They're abandoning it because, in their words, the right women aren't out there to want to do something like this with anyway. Because every woman is a vulture. Every woman is a piranha, a parasite, looking for the next guy to latch onto, suck him dry of his resources, and then move on to the next guy. Now, we know that that's not true in every case, obviously. We're talking about trends here, folks. Trends, okay?
Now, trends, exactly. You know, one of the things, you know, if you look at, start with a young daughter who's watching mom.
Andy Hitchcock is a David Duke butt washer.
Okay, go ahead. That was our troll. He comes in every show.
Not a problem. But we watch, you know, daughters today watch their mother take their dad to the cleaners, and they learn very quickly that the laws in this country are tilted in favor of the woman. Okay, very much. I think I'm an anomaly. kids, I got full custody of my children because their mother was so bad, and I put up a fair fight, and I got custody of my children. However, the laws are tilted in favor of the mothers, and it's an easy way to a good payout after you know spend 10-12 years with a man and get tired of him. And Dan, you kind of touched on something, and last time I was on there I talked about it. The hypergamous nature of a woman is going to want to be always moving up in the world, always, and it's almost instinctive. It's genetic in them because they want the very best male for their genes and their offspring and everything else. But it's a sad day because we're in this fourth wave feminism. They've got access to hundreds of thousands of men wanting to get with them for whatever reason. You know, so you've got this. You start to see the play set stage. You know, the daughter sees daddy taken to the cleaners, then she gets into relationships, and I always say there's a bad news, good news, you know, type story here, but we get into these relationships, and let me just kind of paint a quick picture. If there's any guys out there that can actually say that you went through the bait and switch, you dated a woman for a couple of years, they were the absolute perfect person for you, they were almost a mirror image of you, they went out to the game, they did this with you, did that with you, until you got married, and they got that ring, and they got that law behind them. They got the state, which is part of the triad, and the state and the woman now are ganging up against the man, and all of a sudden the bait and switch happens. You're now in this situation where there goes how she treats you, there goes the intimacy, there goes the, she's not going to cook any meals, she's not going to help you out, you're on your own, effectively. And this is what we're seeing over and over and over again, and you just mentioned MGTOW, it is viral. I was sitting at the VFW 3 days ago, sat there. A guy was telling me, he came in from California. He said he just spent, he's an ex-Marine, just spent 4 years over in Japan with his wife, had a beautiful family. He's got one daughter. Everything was great. Moved back to California, and his wife turned 180 degrees on a dime and doesn't want to be married any longer. She wants somebody else. And I asked him, I said, have you heard of the MGTOW? He's like, my brother just turned me on to that. He goes, it's absolutely where I'm going. And it kind of shocked me because it's the first person I've heard of up here that actually knew about it. But we are getting sick of it. And if I can just take another second here, Dan, you know, you sit there and so now I'm looking at, okay, you get into a relationship, okay? You got the bait and switch starting to go. Most of these women want to work outside of the home. They don't want to be homemakers and raising children and so forth. They want the children, okay, but off their daycare they go because they've got a career because they're strong, independent women. Those are the key words that we have to be listening up for men, strong, independent women. But let's pare this down for a quick second. Woman goes out, gets up in the morning, dolls herself up, puts on the makeup, the nice clothes, the nice smelling perfume. She goes out and she spends the next 8 hours with her boss and coworkers, looking good, looking sharp, everybody working towards a common goal, which is very attractive because women want a man who's goal-oriented. So now she's with that man 8 hours a day, looking her best, working towards a common goal. Okay, you get done with that, now it's 40 hours a week. She comes home, what's the first thing she does, Dan, our Pastor Dan?
Well, she gets comfortable.
She gets comfortable. She takes off her makeup, she throws on the sweats, she dresses down. And on the average, and this is done by multiple studies, on the average, she spends 1.5 hours with her husband, many times saying, I'm a little too tired for lovemaking, and off she goes to bed, and she gets up and goes back and spends another 8 hours the next day with another man. So you're sitting there, and they wonder why we as men are getting a little bit perturbed at what is going on here. And then you wonder why the woman who now is looking at another man spending the majority of her day with this man, why these affairs happen. And it definitely just share with you, it did happen to me. Absolutely. And I try to dissect and figure out what happened. Absolutely. We're getting the short end of the stick. We're not following God's law once again. And we end up taken to the cleaners. They move on with our money and now with this new guy's money until she gets sick of that person. And on it goes.
Yeah, well, amen, and I hate to say I told you so, but I think you can remember us having talks about this back when we first met, and in the early parts of the radio program 18 years ago, we had many shows where this topic was mentioned, and we foretold the day would come when the men would basically be fed up. And it's a little bit like what's happening in the country. The Patriots are fed up with a government that's doing nothing. They've got all the rhetoric down, but they actually don't do a damn thing. Most of them are traitors. Most of them are cowards. Most of them are quislings. So, you know, we're fed up with that. We're fed up with being at war for the Jew to make Jew money. Our men and women dying on foreign soil just so corporations can make a damn profit. U.S. Marine Corps General Smedley Butler nailed it in his little booklet that he wrote. War is a racket, and indeed it is. It's a Jewish money-making scheme, and white men and women need to wake the hell up and stop this BS. And so, you know, everything is constructed in this world in which we live today against the white male. And we've been talking about this endlessly as watchmen on the wall. Everything in this world, the Jew has turned it around with his manipulation of either the courts, the laws, or the media. He's turned it around to put down the white male. Now, I will grant the fact that there are white males out there that ought to be put down. I mean, they really are atrocious examples of manhood. However, that's not the point. The point of it is that not all males are like that. There are real men still in this world. And if the women don't want to support those men, then you're going to see this world continue to erode because the enemy, the Antichrist, are fully aware that the only group of people on earth that are going to turn this situation around for real are the Adamic men. And you don't have to go any further than look in the Bibles and prove this, folks. Now, your modern-day church is telling you that when it says man or men in the Bible, it's talking about every guy with two legs and equipment for a male. That's not true. The ancient Hebrews had three or four different words for men. Each one of them had a different meaning, and yet your Bible puts M-A-N for those different words. That's not accurate, just like in the Greek language. They had three or four words for love, different kinds of a love, affectionate love, romantic love, or eros, brotherly love, etc., agape love. Okay, so each one of those. But what's your Bible have? L-O-V-E. How do you know which one it was? All right, so we're trapped with this Jewish creation that we live in, which is anti-Christ, anti-good, anti-white male. And because they know we're the enemy. We are the enemy of what they're trying to do, just like our ancestor, Jesus the Christ, was their enemy. He told the truth, always told the truth, and they couldn't stand that. And he denounced them for the liars and the devils that they are, and so they orchestrated his murder as they are trying to orchestrate the murder of his descendants, who are the white Christians today. All right? So everything is against us. If you look at it that way, it makes sense. I've had so many times, Magnum, that our men come to me and say, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Why are they doing that? Why was that law written? Why do the immigrants, the non-white immigrants, flood into our lands? If you stand back and picture what would you do if you were the enemy of the white man to destroy his nations, his confidence, his resources, his finances, and his military, what would you do? You would adulterate it. And if you look at what's going on in this world today as an enemy adulterating the white male and everything he represents, that's exactly what they have been doing. They've been following the playbook right out of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, all of the teachings of the completely mentally ill rabbis through the centuries contained in a filthy book called the Talmud. Actually, it's a series of books. But the Talmud and everything it says in there, which is debauchery and pornography and pedophilia and the murder of the white race. And the murder of any Jew that speaks out about it, by the way. Arthur Kessler wrote the book, The 13th Tribe, exposing the Ashkenazi Jews for who they are. And within 2 years, they made sure he was dead. I think I killed his wife, too, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we're actually in a war. Most white people obviously are oblivious to it because they're ignorant. They're dumber than rocks. And they have absolutely no energy for trying to save their own asses, which is amazing to me. Why you would not want to save your own ass is just, I mean, even in the animal kingdom, they have enough of an instinct to save their own children and their own ass. And yet the white race is hell-bent on seeing its own destruction. Magnum, I don't know. What happened to our people? Is it in the water? Is it the chemicals? Is it the brainwashing? Is it the feminism? Or is it all of it?
I'm sitting here taking down some notes right now because I'm looking at this from a standpoint. There's nothing stronger than a solid man-woman relationship. If it is biblically run, I mean, you've got a solid foundation. It's not an arena every single day. And how many men feel like they're in an arena with their wife, like a gladiator fighting for his life every single day, so he can get up bruised and battered to go off to work, to come home back to the arena with his wife. So how do you destabilize the white man? You destabilize his home. How do you destabilize his home? The wife is a major contributor to that. She's the weaker vessel, and the serpent, you call them the Jews, the serpent absolutely knows who the weaker vessel is. More easily controlled. I'm not going to say this is 100% carte blanche. I don't want people jumping up and down saying I'm anti-female. I am not. Okay. However, but you take the weaker vessel, you destabilize them, you give them fourth wave feminism, you give them all these different tools, all the laws in their favor to go back to their home and destabilize the home life. Now the man's in an arena instead of a castle. And that, I think, right there is one of the biggest deals that's going on. And so now the man's, you know, he's fighting with one arm, you know, because he's fighting with his wife on one side, who's attacking him, and he's trying to take care of business outside the home with his other arm. So, I mean, you're not effective like that. When I look at the long-term marriages, I've got my twin brother just, I had a 17-year anniversary yesterday. I know my cousin's got a 26-year anniversary. I know of a 40-year right now. And all of them have a supportive wife at home, some degrees, absolutely. But they have a rock-solid foundation so that the man can make sure that he's doing his biblical part and the wife is doing her biblical part. This is what confuses me most. When we look at, if I can jump into this real quick, there's four basic needs for men and for women. I wanted to cover this really quick because this is the good news part of it. And to me, it is so simplistic, but the serpent, the Jews, the media, all these different outlets that are destroying our women who are coming home, bringing the virus into our homes and destroying us as men and destroying our families and destroying our kids. Okay. If anybody disagrees with what I'm going to say right now, I absolutely challenge you to give a call to this radio program and let's talk about it. Okay, we'll cover the men, the top four things. First and foremost, men want respect. We kill for it. We challenge people for it. We want to be respected, especially inside of our homes. That's honor and respect. Number two, we have a sexual need. Absolutely. It is not a wish or a want. It's a biological need that we have. I don't think we have to say much more on that one. The third one, we want a true friendship with our wife. We don't want to be at odds with her. We don't want to feel like we're in an arena with her. We want to be friends with her. We want them hanging out with us. We want to hang out with them and be friends with them. And the last one is domestic support. Okay. Of course, we want to help out at the house. You know, we do what comes gifted to us, whether it's maybe it's cooking, maybe it's lawn mowing, whatever it is. But we want domestic support in the home. Okay, so here's the first four for the men. Let's go to women. Women, their number one is security. I think we've all heard that before. They want to be secure in the relationship. They want to be secure financially. Okay, and then we move on to open and honest communication. They want open and honest communication. Women are emotional. They come from an emotional standpoint. I always say they're thinking 360 degrees. Men are very linear. We think A, B, C, and they're like a compass dial. Women are. They're getting information from all angles. So they want open and honest communication. The next one is soft, non-sexual affection. Okay. They want to be touched non-sexually and know that they're admired and revered and that they're loved. I can give them that, absolutely. And the last one they want is leadership. I struggle with this one because so many women today, how many times have you heard that they are a strong, independent woman? A strong, independent woman does not want a leader in the home. They want to lead in the home. They want to make the decisions and everything else. And with that, there's the power struggle. I mean, there's no two captains on a ship. It just doesn't work. Okay, so if I can continue here for a second, and then I'll take a big breath here. I want to put out there, women need to understand that they are kingmakers. Okay, they can make the man feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof, or they can whittle them down until they're a skeleton of a man. They're kingmakers. Okay. Typically, what I see nowadays is when a woman has children, they put those kids number one. They are the first and foremost thing in their mind. And what happens? The guy takes a back seat behind the kids, the dog, and it drives us men absolutely bizarre, because that best friend that we had now has shoved us to the back of the bus. We don't have our best friend anymore. We're not getting the sex. When we start arguing about it, we don't get the respect. And more times than not, they take our domestic support, throw it out the window, say, I'm not doing any laundry. I'm not going to do any cooking. I'm not going to do anything. So right there, by inverting that pyramid, okay, and putting kids and dogs and everybody else before the husband, what you've done is just done a disservice to your marriage, and even more importantly, to your kids, because your kids mirror exactly what you women are doing today to us men. They're going to put their kids ahead of their spouse, and on it goes. The divorce rate keeps going straight up through the roof, and the destruction of the marriage keeps going. And what are all the kids are told today? It's great to race mix. It's great to put the kids before the parents. Our parents have got to be up their kids' butt 24/7. They've got to be in all the sports to the demise of the marriage.
Amen to that.
Absolutely. So, and then, you know, but the last one, we have the answer. Okay, here's the final thing I'll say, and we'll move on here. We've got the answer. Ephesians 5 gives us the answer to 100% successful marriage. And what there's one commandment, one dictation that God gave women in Ephesians 5. And it said, of anything else that you do, make sure that you see that you give your husband respect. Because if you don't start out with that number one need, no, this train isn't going anywhere. And it's so easy for a woman today to just pull the respect away. And people will argue, well, respect is earned. Women are kingmakers. Give the respect, and a man will rise to the occasion damn near every single time, and they will slay dragons for that family. But you take away that respect, and I'm living proof of it, the train's not going anywhere. So we've got the answer. We've got the winning lottery numbers to the Powerball. We're just not using it. And that's my question maybe back to you, Pastor Dennis. Why aren't we? We've got the answer. Why are we not using it?
Well, because we're rebellious. That's the foremost thing about Israelites. The Bible calls us stiff-necked people. That's an idiom that just means that we're proud, we're self-centered, we're stubborn. We got egos that are way bigger than they should be. So we are our own worst enemy. So that's basically it. I want to tell people too that you're 100% right. That's in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 33. The second half of that verse says, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You nailed it, Magnum, when you said we have the solution to our problem. That's actually the easy part. Yahweh gave us a plan. He laid it out through scriptures and the prophets. He laid it out through the Holy Spirit too, because it speaks to these problems. It spoke to me when I was going through my problems, only I didn't know enough to put it down and put it all together just yet. But as the years progressed and I kept putting the empirical evidence against what the Holy Spirit was trying to show me, it became clearer and clearer. So at this age, and after all the miles I've been down that road, it's clear as a bell to me what the problem is. And you're right. We do not follow the biblical marriage today. No. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like hearing it or not, it's the same idea that I've had with this whole thing about circumcision. And people know how I feel about that. It's mutilation. All right. If you don't know that, shame on you. You can explain it to Father. I'm going to have to explain my ignorance because I followed tradition, and I'm apologetic for it, and I refuse to promote it any further. And the same thing goes with marriage. We are not living biblical marriages today in America or any other white nation. We're living the Jesuit Jew Catholic version of marriage that came out of the Catholic Church. And excuse me, but there's nothing good that came out of the Catholic Church as far as I'm concerned. Nothing. All right. Mm-hmm. So we are following that rule and that way of marriage, and what modern devices such as Hollywood and flat screen TVs and movies What they're portraying is a marriage. It's unrealistic. It doesn't work. And as my father said, you can't argue with success. If it worked, I'd be the last person to denounce it. It doesn't work. And I'm amazed at how many people, our people, are as stiff-necked as they are trying to preserve a failed system. This system we live under today has failed completely. And why they don't want to go back to the biblical solution is beyond me, because it works. It works 100% of the time. And when it doesn't work, and here's the beautiful part of it, unlike the modern day system, which says you're married for life, whether she turns into a hag, whether she does this or that, and the same thing the other way around, whether he becomes a wife beater, a drunk, a lazy bum, abuses the children, doesn't matter. It's yours for life. You got to deal with it. That's what they're teaching. And yet the word, that's not what it says. The word teaches it that it's a contract. And anybody familiar with contract law says that if either party fails to uphold their end of the contract's over. It's that simple. In the Bible, it's said a bill of divorcement. Now, the only thing that when Yahweh came and put on flesh and walked amongst us as an example, and he spoke the spoken word to the disciples about these kind of things, he further elucidated the fact that you shouldn't do it on the drop of a hat. You shouldn't do it for silly little disturbances or grievances. It should be taken very seriously. However, if it becomes a thorn in your side, I call it the Hagar syndrome. What did Abraham do when Hagar just would not listen? He told her over and over again, you're disrupting my family. Sarah is the senior wife. And if somebody's going to go down the highway, it'll be you. But Hagar would not listen. She continued to try to put a wedge between Abraham and Sarah. And so Abraham said one day, here's a bag full of your inheritance, here's probably some gold and silver maybe and a few other things, and said, get your ass out of here and go down the road. I don't want you around. You're a thorn in my side. You see, we forget that Adam was put here with a mission, okay? Before there was an Eve, before a woman ever came into existence, before there was ever children, so there was no marriage, there were no children, Adam was put here with a mission. And that's what we seem to have forgotten. Adam is first in line. Adam was created in the image of Yahweh. Adam had the breath of life breathed into his nostrils in the spirit of our Heavenly Father. It was Adam. And if you don't like hearing that, it's tough toenails to you. That's the hierarchy and the way it is. And I'm telling you, Magnum, we men need to get together and figure out what we will and will not tolerate any longer. And I'll give the women a break here. A large part of the problem today is not very many men are acting like men. Okay, I'll give them that much. Our men need to learn how to be men again. However, they have to understand that we have been lied to, deceived, and put upon for decades. So we're not going to fix ourselves overnight. But we need to take a step off in the right direction. Fix our men. Our men need to learn how to be men again. So the younger men need to find older men who are doing it right and start to emulate them. And then when they do that, the women will follow in line. I'm sure of it. We got a caller. Let me get Gary here, Magnum, and see what Gary's got to say. Gary, welcome to the program.
Okay. Good morning, Pastor, and to the guest. Yahweh bless. As I was listening to you through the whole thing, you know, what you guys are going through, it seems like we're a cursed society. Okay, in other words, when I say society, I mean Israel. Why are we being cursed like this? Our women don't listen, our men don't listen, nobody does things properly. All of a sudden we got people laying in the street, and we have third world people coming into this country. They're being blessed. You know, our money that we pay in taxes goes to them, while our people lay in the streets, and the litany is long. For instance, here in San Diego, they're building all these real posh apartments for Section 8 people. You know, so our money gets to go to make them to house Israel night, yet there's our Israelite guy in the street. So then why is this happening? So then I read 2 Chronicles 19:2, and it basically says, when you bless the wicked, you get their curses. And what are we doing today? How much money do we send to that little bastard state called Israel, which is the Jews, which are the Antichrist? We are taking our hard-earned money and giving it to the Antichrist. So now the curse is lifted from them and it's put upon us. This is what we got to learn here in our countries and also the European countries that are Caucasians, is we got to stop that. Don't give the money to the Antichrist. Don't bless the Antichrist. What you do is you start blessing us, to let our money come to us, to bless us, not them. Let the curses of our Savior go upon them, not upon us, because we're buying their curse.
That's a good point.
And this is what you guys, this is what you're talking about now. Why don't our women listen? Because we're listening to the what's that woman that Babylon had there?
Jezebel?
Jezebel. We're listening to Jezebel. Okay, so our women are acting just like Jezebel. Why wouldn't they? We paid hard-earned cash to get that curse. Yeah. I mean, we're paying hard for that. And I don't hear any preachers out here preaching that. You know, we're getting this crap from the lecterns out here. Go out here to a regular Christian and tell him about who God's chosen people are and who aren't, and see what happens to you. Our own people have been brainwashed to where they're not even listening, so they can't figure out why their wife doesn't listen. Why should they? They're listening to Jezebel, and she's telling them to do this, and they're doing it, and we're even paying for it. We're paying for all this great counseling, I guess, to go against us. You know, and if we don't get enough, we'll give you some more money. And, oh, you guys got problems? We'll come in there and we'll fix it for you. Won't fix ours, but we'll fix theirs. So we're buying their curse.
Yep.
We bought it.
Yeah, amen.
And what you guys are talking about today is absolutely true. And the reason for this is because our women do not know who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. As Caucasian women, so they act the role of Jezebel, who is those Jews. That's their goddess. We've bought her. We're giving her tons of money to pay for what she's going to give us. And we've got to say, well, this is what God said in Deuteronomy 28, I think it is. We got those curses.
Yeah, we do. Hey, Gary, hold on just a second. Magnum, I know you told me before the program that you might have to go. Is that still true?
I've got a couple more minutes. I can hang on here.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think I've said enough, and you guys probably understand what I was saying.
Good point.
And it's scriptural. See, what I'm saying is all you have to do, why is this happening? Well, for instance, I did was my wife said, read 2 Chronicles 19:2, and I have it marked here. Why haven't I relied on that before? You know, should we love the wicked? We must, because we are paying for their curse, and we're paying dearly. Not only are we paying our hard-earned cash, we're losing our morals. You know, you sit there and you're like, when you take a homosexual and you can't say anything about what he is, there's something wrong with that picture. When you do a lesbian, she's not coming after you, she's going after your daughter or your wife, there's something wrong with that picture. I mean, the litany is long. And like you expressed, the judges are saying this, and you look up there on the bench, now I've been before them, they're Jew judges. He's a wicked man already. You expect him to judge you properly when our legislators are enticed and also have amongst them the enemy? We expect proper laws to come from that? I mean, when you have an alert sent out that all the judges and the things that have to do that have to go through the Senate's okay is now being stopped by the Democrats. Who are these guys? They're the wicked. You know, they're the party of pro-abortion, pro-homosexual rights, pro-lesbian rights, what's that, transgender rights, all these wicked rights. Well, you have a right. The Constitution says you have a right. They're the ones, I think you earlier said, that twist the Constitution to make it say what they want it to say and that favors them, and we're stupid enough to stand there and say, oh, yeah. And this is what you guys are talking about right now. You go before a judge, and it's, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, one of the things that I want to jump in real quick was, if we don't think that we're not being attacked on all fronts, you're fooling yourself. Social media, movies, and this end. I was actually discussing this with Pastor Dan a couple days ago. Just giving an example on this, how they're trying to force homosexuality to be accepted by everyone. I was watching a movie, Daddy's Home 2, the other day. Got some very prominent actors, Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, Mel Gibson, and John Lithgow. And inside that movie, they had Will Ferrell and John Lithgow playing father-son. They kissed on the lips over 6 times throughout that movie. The last scene of the movie is this little boy, that's one of the sons, he's got this group of girls lined up to give him a kiss at Christmas time and so forth. And as they look down the line, a little boy that's in line for the kissing peers out and smiles at him. And I said, this is just disgusting. You can't go to any movie now. So when we're looking at our women and what are women doing, they're sitting on social media all day long. I mean, they're on it constantly, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, you name it, they're on it. And they're being bombarded with this message that they don't need to be a biblical wife. No man is going to tell them what to do. They can do whatever they want. They're empowered. And it gets to the point where it's we've got to stop that. What would our life be like if we inverted that and we got away from social media, if we got away from television, if we got away from all these institutions that are trying to destroy the family, and we went back to, like what Pastor Dan was saying, a biblical marriage. The family would be strong. The man would not be in an arena inside and outside of his home. And we'd be moving forward, and we could probably tackle some of these bigger issues out there. But we're off center. I mean, we're tripping over our own feet here because we're fighting at home and fighting outside the house. I'd love to see us turn it around inside the home, especially like Pastor Dan was saying. We need to get the men, and I like this movement called MGTOW. Not that they're going away from women permanently. I don't think it's permanent, but they're taking a step back and saying, we're not going to be destroyed by you women and your laws that are in favor of you. So we're taking a step back until we can kind of figure this out, and it is going worldwide. It is viral, absolutely. And I promote it every single day if I can, because we need to. If we don't do something, if we as men do not do something, we are going to lose it all. And the women are going to lose, the kids are going to lose, the country's going to lose, and you know, then there will be SOL.
Amen.
So
to that.
The issue on what you just talked about is correct, but the fight, that's not the fight, even though it is the fight, okay? The fight is to stop blessing the enemy. Because when we, for instance, we know who the enemy is, when we sit here and give billions of dollars to the enemy, we're just buying their corruption. We're saying, it's okay, bring it on. We're buying their curse. You see, a lot of people don't know that. We're buying their, we bought and paid for their curse to, you know, Jezebel. We paid for it. And we've got to stop that. We just now, the president we have, you know, I like him a lot, but he's over there talking to the enemy. He's over there giving the enemy money, and he can't figure out why problems are happening. This is what we have to do. I mean, yes, these are all the things that happen from the big problem. The big problem dishes out all these little things, these little problems. that we're talking about. Now, we know the family is big, so but we've paid to have that done. You see, when I come to this conclusion this morning, believe it or not, you know, because I already knew about this, and everybody else does too, then the Lord says, that's your problem, is you guys are paying my enemy to come against me. And if you're going to do that, I'm going to come against you as promised in Deuteronomy 28. You know, you always got to go back to the scriptures. Why is this happening? Why? Because we bought and paid for it. You know, and until we stop that, we're going to have this problem. I mean, here in San Diego, I mean, you had to, I don't know where you live at, but over here in San Diego, you know, you go to, you have to look for sections that are white. Let's put it that way. Either that or, and speak English. You know, it's all Mexican and everything. How come we have that? This is the United States. Why are the borders wide open?
Well, you're right, and we've talked about that fact that the economic system that's controlled completely by Zionist communist Jews is a fundamental problem, and if you don't eliminate their influence over our societies, whether it be financial or through their control of media, etc., there is no solution. So number one is that the white nations need to exile or deal with this Jewish question, because they need to be outed for the enemies of Christ that they are. And we need to have these, pastors in these mainstream churches. They need to be muzzled because they're liars. They're liars.
Amen.
Yeah, they're liars.
Amen.
Yeah.
Pastor, amen again. That is it. When you have these clowns coming from the lecterns and talking that crap, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people. Who told you that? I haven't read it in the Bible. You know, show me how they're called the Antichrist. Read 1 John, what it says about the Antichrist. You know, read 2 Chronicles about what it says about the Antichrist. It's, and Pastor, I just can't believe what you just said. You said the whole nutshell there. It's the pastors that are doing the problem. We have very few Pastor Dan Johns out there. Very few Eli James and on down the list. Very few. But, man, you go to these mainstream churches that they're on the TV, they're all talking about the so-called blessed ones, the cursed. So we're getting their curse. We're getting their curse. That pastor's being blessed. Oh, he's driving caddies and everything else, running around doing this and that. We're not, though. Our country's not, because that pastor's lying. He's sticking up for the Antichrist.
The Antichrist makes sure their pockets are full of shekels. They're doing them a favor. So, yeah, they're being blessed financially. They're not being blessed in Father's eyes. They're going to stand, you know, they're going to be judged like everybody else. So, you know, but it's a key to the problem. I know we're running out of time that we have you. So let me turn it over to Magnum here so that he doesn't run out of time.
I'm going to tell you and the brother goodbye, and Yahweh bless both of you. You're both talking some good stuff, you know, and it's really enjoyable to listen to you. So Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, Gary.
Thank you.
Well, you know, what Gary's alluding to there, Magnum, is, you know, he's right. You know, we can't fix any of our problems. A case in point is the current issue about the firearms, okay? Every group that's funding these young people that are out marching, every group that's funding that is a communist, Democrat, or a Jew, which is all the same. They're synonymous terms, okay? So it's all the far left, the commies. So the commies are putting all the shekels into the young people's pockets and paying their way, buying their shirts, buying their hats, buying the signs that they're using. That's all coming out of communist money, because these young people wouldn't be in the street if the Jew wasn't financing it. I'm going to tell you, it's just like Black Lives Matter. They would not be in the street if there wasn't a Jew behind them handing them shekels. The same thing with Antifa. They wouldn't be in the street if there wasn't a Jew behind them with a bag full of shekels. So the root of our problem is the love of money by our people, and the fact that the people in control of the purse strings, as Christ even said, the terrible power of the purse, when you allow the enemy to come in and control the purse, now you've given the enemy exactly what he needs to buy all the opposition to truth and justice that he needs. And so to fix our problems in the men-women relationship and the marriage situation, we need to cut the legs out from underneath the enemy, which is the finances. And that's why I'm praying that there is a coming economic change to this world very, very soon. I hope, and people that know me know I've been talking about this for some time. There is a huge change in the economy that's coming very soon, and I'm praying it's the revelation change. It's when Babylon burns and Yahweh sends the merchants off into the hills to weep and wail. The merchants, not you and me, ladies and gentlemen, the merchants. We need to cut the legs out from under these bastards so that they are no longer a thorn in our sides and they can no longer promote the inequities in our court system where everybody against the white male. That's got to go away, Magnum. It's got to go away.
And, you know, while that's happening, I'd like to state that I'd encourage, if you're sitting out there today listening to this program and you've got one of those marriages, I won't say disrespectful wives or a disrespectful husband or whatever, but if you've got one of those marriages out there, turn back to the Bible. If you want to give yourself a true flu shot, go back to the Bible. Start read Ephesians 5, verse 33. 1 Peter's got a great 1 Peter 3, I believe it is. Go back and really go back, look at that. Now, I do want to point out, I want to give a plug for a YouTube pastor who really is teaching it when it comes to relationship. His name is Larry Evans. Larry Evans. You can look him up on YouTube. And this is where a lot of this information definitely comes from. But he's teaching the Bible. He's teaching the biblical marriage because he started out very poorly in his marriage. He was the jerk. And he finally gave his life over to God, and he and his wife live a biblical marriage, and they've been married for over 40 years. So I want to give a shout-out for that one as well. So, we can maybe do a couple of parallel paths, but you're absolutely right, Pastor Dan. The legs have got to be cut off underneath those that have been doing us harm for many generations.
Yeah, amen to that. Like I said, it's in our faces now. You got to be completely blind not to see the Zionist fingerprints all over everything going on in the United States and every other white nation. You look at how did Theresa May get in there? Completely unfit for office. Angela Merkel, completely unfit for office. Macron in France, unfit for office. The only thing good about the French, though, is they threw Sarkozy in prison because of his money laundering and other nefarious things that he did as president before Macron. The same thing with this imbecile they got in Canada. How do these people get in there? It's all, you don't elect anybody, folks. I'm sorry. It's a selection. If you think you're electing. Now, how did Trump get in there? Well, apparently some people that wanted him in there unrigged the election because Obama and Hillary thought that it was a done deal for them. And so did all the people that were paying for playing. So whether it's Q, whether it's Trump, whether it's white hats, whether it's a white dragon society, I don't even care. All I know is what I see. What I see is somebody stepped in there to throw a monkey wrench into their organized crime control over the election process here in the United States. So whoever threw that monkey wrench in there, they have my blessings and they have my prayers. Because somebody is trying to upset the apple cart here for the New World Order, and they have all my support, because that's what we're trying to do, okay? This New World Order is a Zionist Jewish cabal trying to rule the world exactly like their Talmud says, exactly the way their chief rabbis have been spouting off for decades, that we're all just cattle, which is what goyim means, we're just cattle. And they're the only ones fit to rule the world. So they're not changing their agenda, okay? Our people just need to wake up to the agenda, that's all. They're not hiding it anymore. They think that they're close enough to getting it that they can be in our face just like this March for Our Lives bullshit. I'll call it exactly what it is. I'm going to throw the bullshit flag on it because that's what it is. It's a Jewish organized event. It's got Jewish money all over it at the leadership levels, and they got two crypto Jew kids, that boy and his cousin, the female, Dyke, perfect examples. Just like everything else that goes wrong today, it's a staged event, and every perp is a half-breed, part Jew perpetrator. Okay, so they get their own kind in there as actors, and bad actors at that, and put them up there because it's just like Hollywood. Most of the people in Hollywood are crypto Jews or outright Jews. And even when they're not very good, they keep them up there because it's their show, it's their game. And so they're doing the same thing with these staged events. The main actors, even though they're terrible at it, that young man and that woman are as obvious as the nose on your face that they're not sincere, that they're reading a script, they're putting on an act. And I can't believe there's anybody with a mind that's so weak that they can't see through this garbage. It's the communist takeover, brother. It's here. It's here now. We're not having to wait no 10 more years down the road for fruition of revelation and the end times prophecies. We're in it, brother. We're in it.
Well, that's why your program with Eli James and all the rest are so important, because there's not a lot of people that are actually speaking the truth out there. It's always a modified version of the truth, or it's whatever's been scripted for them. So that's why I've been listening for over 15 years to your program, because it does speak the truth.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And again, I know I don't want you to go, so if you can stick around, that's great. But I know you did. You said you had something you had to do, so I don't want to cause you to be late.
Yeah, I'm pretty much at the end of this road here this time, but I'd be glad to come on again here in the near future, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, you're welcome anytime. You're one of them.
Absolutely.
You're one of my brothers and sisters that has a 24/7 open door policy.
same thing
goes out there if he's listening to Doc Waterman. I know there's a lot of things going on, and Doc is involved in a lot. So if there's anything to report, just call in and tell me. You can break in at any point and give a report. So that's what we're here for, you know.
Absolutely. Well, thank you definitely for letting me vent a little bit today and kind of get a couple thoughts off my mind. But I'll definitely be talking to you here in the near future.
All right, brother. You take care, and Yahweh bless.
Yeah, bless.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, that was Magnum 44, our guest there with a discussion about this upside-down world we live in. I'm telling you, it's absolutely amazing to me. Looks like we have a caller, so let me...
There is one other participant in the conference.
Okay, we have Henry from Connecticut. Welcome to the program, Henry.
Hey, Pastor Dan, how you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Well, you're on another roll today, I see. I guess you lost a couple of guests, so I figured I'd call in and put my two cents in. One of the things that has been angering me quite a bit lately, especially on the Internet, you know, there's some really smart white people out there who have a great deal of influence. I'm thinking of a couple. One in particular, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name's Jordan Peterson.
I've heard the name. I've heard the name, but
anyway,
I don't know.
Anyway, he just seemingly came out of nowhere, and he's just a overnight sensation. He was even on Tucker Carlson recently. But, you know, the common denominator with these people, I think you mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I think the issue that you have to you know, divide these people and figure out where they really stand on is when it comes to the Jewish question. And these people are just total shills, and you know, they're heroes on the Internet, but they avoid the real questions, and so you just have to move on. I say, you know, you just have to you gotta speak the truth. Don't worry about the haters. They'll be angry because you speak the truth, you know, that contradicts the lies that they live. And just don't waste time giving explanations. Just know who your friends are. They don't need your advice, and your enemies won't believe it anyway. And the idiots, they can't understand it. I think Ben Franklin said it best. Wise men don't need advice, and fools won't take it.
I haven't heard that one before. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. And it applies to today's all these media freaks today who are, you know, they're very, you know, they're really appealing at first. Some of these people, you know, they, like, I thought, for example, the Jordan Peterson fellow. His fame is related, you know, when the transgender issue came to the forefront not too long ago. That's how he made his name. He stood up against it, and you know, this whole thing about the proper pronouns that you have to address them by, and all that nonsense bullshit. And he became really like an overnight sensation. And his following is amazingly high. It's almost like he was put in there. And he does have some great things to say when he focuses on those kind of issues. But I researched the guy, and I found out, you know, where he stands on the Jewish question. It's like he's like the rest of these shills. It's like, oh, they just happen to be more intelligent than us, and all this bullshit. It's just, oh my God, it's just so crazy.
The only people I know that say stuff like that are people that haven't worked with them. I mean, I remember when I went to college, it was back in the early 70s, there was a Jewish kid there that was arrested by the FBI because his claim to fame was hacking into the phone system to make free long-distance calls. And young people today with their cell phones, they don't realize that back in the 70s, long-distance phone calls were very expensive. Very expensive.
Andy
Hitchcock, too. So, I'll tell you what. Hold on just a second, Henry. I'm going to try to switch modes here. If I lose you, call back in, okay?
I got you.
All participants are muted.
Okay, let me try to. Okay, now, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. All right. I switched modes. I switched modes that hopefully will mute anybody that calls in, and then I have to unmute them. So, but anyway, the trolls, it's just like on talk show, you know, they call in trying to disrupt things, and this retard in Northern Florida is no different than the rest of them. Why in the world they just don't get their own radio program? Well, I know why they don't, because nobody would listen to their idiocy.
Nobody would listen to them. Yeah.
Right. So,
they've got nothing intelligent to bring to the table. They never do.
Right, exactly.
Libtards, these retards. Oh, God. I don't know.
Yep. So I was going somewhere, and then the troll got me off track there, so now I don't remember what I was going to tell you. But
I know. I hate that. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be glad to respond to anything you want to say, because you are pretty adept at rolling for 2 hours on your own. I've heard you before, so.
Well, it's the enemy gives us so much to discuss. It's unbelievable, you know? and then our own people, as my brother there, Magnum, was talking about, and Gary. I just don't understand why our people have to be our own worst enemy. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It says that in scripture. It says that by the founding fathers. Division, absolutely. Divide and conquer. That's a motto of the Jew. That's a motto of the communists, which that's again synonymous, Jews and communists. Yep. So, you know, divide and conquer. And the thing of it is, we're allowing them to do that to us. And, you know, if our people, even if the people that claim to be Bible scholars and people that read their Bibles often, it's funny how they treat the Bible like a cafeteria menu. Okay. They're going to go down the buffet line, and they're going to pick a verse here, pick a verse there. And that's what they're going to build their little paradigm on, and completely ignore the rest of it. And that's
they typically take those little, tidbits out of context too. The following verses, sometimes the surrounding verses, paint a completely different picture.
Well, exactly right. Yeah. And a good case in point of that is the food laws. Okay. Yep. They talk about, Romans 13 is another one that's taken completely out of context. But when Peter was talking about, the fact that, you know, all food was clean. It even says in that chapter of Peter that that was a reference to men, unclean men. It had nothing to do with what we put in our bodies. That was an idiomatic expression. And yet people today, right, when you try to tell them you should be careful about what you put in your bodies, okay? The Bible's very clear. You're careful about what enters your ears. You're very careful about what enters your eyes. Is everybody paying attention out there with their cell phones in front of their faces and their flat screen computers and their movie cameras and everything else? Are you paying attention? And we are to watch what we put in our mouths, because you are what you eat. And I, you know, it's like, how in the hell can you not understand something as simple as that? I just don't understand. Let me take a chance here. We got a area code 212. I want to see. Maybe we'll actually have a caller this time instead of a troll.
Yep.
Okay.
And he's a Jew, too.
It's our troll.
What did he say?
Oh, I don't know. It's our troll.
I didn't hear what he said. He said something. I heard my name.
He's trying to call you a troll, but see, I've got him identified now.
Oh,
so
I
you're,
see.
He's going to have
troll,
to.
Yeah.
He's going to have to go buy he's going to have to go buy a bunch of burner phones, because every time he does that, I'm logging his phone numbers down.
Yeah.
And so, as soon as I see it's my troll buddy, he will never get unmuted again. So keep doing that, buddy. And I hope you got a whole basket full of burner phones, because each time you do it, I'm going to log that number down. But anyway, they can't bring anything to the table, so they got to disrupt somebody trying to actually fix the problem.
Actually have an intelligent conversation, try to solve some of these problems, which seem insurmountable at times. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, the messages that are intentionally used, especially by our church leaders and preachers, taking biblical text out of context. You know, I can't think of a more powerful example of how they misuse the Bible when you think about the Gospels themselves. And typically, you think about the church preachers, the Judeo-Christian teachers, and the main message they use the Gospels for is, they paint Jesus as this pacifist who came here, and he was just this great moral teacher, turn the other cheek, and all this other stuff, which, yeah, there were some moral messages, there's no question about it, in the Gospels, but I think the message that's really lost is his battle with the theocracy of the Jews. I mean, occasionally they'll point to him turning the tables over in the temple, but I mean the Gospels are just full of his disdain for the Jew. And it should be, how often do you ever hear them speak about that?
Well, you don't. Ever. Yeah, you don't.
You just don't.
And I've asked I've asked plenty of my Judeo-Christian associates over the years, would you show me in the Bible where he had anything good to say about Pharisees and Sadducees, who are today's Jews? You know, nothing in there at all about them. I mean, everything was disdain and a curse and a prediction that they would be here to steal, to kill, and destroy. In John, he mentions the fact that they're responsible for all of the innocent blood shed. I mean, how many preachers have ever talked about that? Christ laid the blood of every... Yeah. So, you know, we find out we've got pedophilia is a worldwide plague on humanity. Who's behind it?
Do they talk about it? No.
Jews. Worldwide prostitution and trafficking for sex slaves. Who's behind it? Jews. Harvesting of organs from people. Now we're finding out in China they're actually harvesting out of people while they're living. I just saw that yesterday. Oh. While they're still living. They put them on a table and cut out their organs, and then that kills them. I mean, that's how sick this world is. It's just unbelievable.
And they say nothing about it.
Right.
Not a word. I just don't know how people can go to church and sit there. I don't understand why people can't think and see these people for what they are. They're they're wolves in sheep's clothing, and they just are doing the dirty work. And it's obviously they're doing it. They're either paid. I think for the most part, their messages are messages are controlled. They're probably told what they can and cannot preach about. It's just insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And leading everyone down the wrong road. It's just, but people, our people just refuse to wake up. I just think it gets worse and worse as it goes. I know there are a lot of people waking up, but there's so many more that are just, they've just got their heads buried in the sand.
Yeah, look, I got another caller. He may have another burner phone, but let me check because I've already got it logged. Yeah. I got it logged down in case.
Henry Zakaik.
Oh, that's okay. Nice. All right. Yeah.
I would love to punch this SOB right in the face.
Well, that's okay. That's just another one. So you better go get another burner because I got that one logged.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay. He's going to run out of phones or he's going to keep borrowing some of the other retards that are there near him. Let him borrow their phones. That's what he's doing.
So I'm a troll and I'm a kike. Hey.
Yeah. Well, you know, that just exposes who he is. You know, by their fruits you will know them. He's got the fruit of a Jew. So, you know, he's accusing you of what he is. That's another trait of a Jew. So
that's all that they ever do. That's all they ever do. That's why it's so hard to reach people sometimes. It's from their, like you said earlier, it's from their playbook, the Protocols of Zion. They do the same thing over and over, hundreds and thousands of years, actually.
Here's the beautiful part. You know, he keeps doing that, and he's actually providing us an excellent example for our people to learn by. All right? Because I have a lot of people that contact me that say, how do I know who to talk to? Well, this retard is providing us exactly what we want. When they do things like this, there you go. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. There you go. So this guy is bad fruit all the way through. There you go. You don't want to talk to him. You don't want to try to save him. You don't want to have commerce with him. You don't want to even discuss anything with him. And you sure as hell don't want him in your house. Bad trees. Well, stay away from bad trees. So, you know, he gives a perfect example of what we should be looking for in who we contact, who we talk to, who we witness to, because not everybody out there is meant to be saved. You know, the modern day church, when I was in it, they used to teach us, you need to go out there and evangelize. You know, you want to save as many souls, as if it was some kind of contest, like I get a prize if I got more souls in my basket. So, you know, yeah, when I was a teenager, there was a few years where I might go up to a stranger and try to engage them in a conversation about the gospel. And most of the time they looked at you like you're an idiot. They had no desire, So after a while I started questioning. I said, I wonder if this is really true because nothing's fitting according to what these guys are trying to tell me. So I started digging into the Bible, the word, and had my concordance. And started looking up the verses that dealt with all that. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's not what this book is saying. In fact, the very words of Christ himself said that I speak in parables because there's people here that if I spoke openly and plainly, they might hear and repent and be saved.
He didn't want that.
He
didn't want that. I think of it, when you say that, you know what I think of? I think of all these, I hate to put them down. I'm going to try to be polite, but these missionaries that go to sub-Saharan Africa, and what do they think they're going to accomplish? Those people, you know what I'm saying? What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a huge waste of time, and I've spoken to friends of mine that did spend many years over there building missionaries, schools, hospitals, etc. And in fact, one of the guys took millions of dollars over there, and he helped build villages, schools, hospitals, and all that sort of thing. Hospitals, and when he came back, I was talking to him, and he said, "You know, we went to this place over there, and I won't say where it was, but he goes, we went over there, we spent all this money, we built it all up, and at some point we turned it over to the elders of the village or whatever. He said, we go back less than 10 years later, and the jungle has reclaimed everything we built. Everything we built. So they're incapable of even maintaining the what we build. In other words, they can't even maintain it, let alone build it themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Total waste of time.
So I consider the same thing. What? Why would you witness to people who are not of the house of Israel? All right?
Exactly.
Because that's what it says. You know, you're to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So why? I don't understand. Okay, let me try. This is getting to be fun because I'm logging all these things down here. Let me see if this is our idiot again.
Eli's a kike too.
Oh, there
he goes.
Hey.
Wow. But I got that one logged now too, so that's cool. So let me drop him off here.
Baby.
Yep, let me drop him like a hot potato here, and so that's another one logged. He must have a bushel basket full of these things. But then again, he's a kike, so he's got plenty of shekels. He just goes down to the local synagogue and talks to the bankers and his Federal Reserve buddies down there and says, hey, I need to buy a bushel basket full of new burners. Oh, sure, here's the shekels, because we just print it up in computers. We don't actually have to have money anymore because the local Best Buy and Walmart will still accept the phony money system. So go ahead and go down and buy another bushel basket full. But eventually he'll get tired of it because I'm going to keep banning his thing. So he's going to end up forgetting which ones he's used and hasn't used trying to get on here. So it'll be like a little game, but that's okay. We've got a method already on how to block them out. So it's kind of fun in a way.
Yep. I just pulled up a quote from the great one in Mein Kampf when we were talking about these misguided missionaries. Let me read it here. It would be more in keeping with the intention of the noblest man in this world if our two Christian churches, instead of annoying Negroes with missions which they neither desire nor understand, would kindly, but in all seriousness, teach our European humanity that where our parents are not healthy, it is a deed pleasing to God to take pity on the poor little healthy orphan child and give him a father and a mother, than themselves to give birth to a sick child who would only bring unhappiness and suffering on himself and the rest of the world. So there you go.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, we got Doc Waterman on the line here. Let me find out what he's got going. Welcome to the program, Doc.
I'm enjoying, actually, the troll hitting him. And the reason why is I've been out of the industry a long time, but it wasn't without learning quite a bit before I left. The interesting thing about what is probably going on is there's something called the New Media Desk at Israel, in Israel. Lots of American-born Jews have gone back to Israel, thank goodness, to join this IDF a division of propaganda. It's part of the propaganda division. And what they do, we've got pictures of them. We even know their names, their ranks. We've got videos of them. And they set up these desks in the what's called the New Media Desk. And the reason why it's called the New Media Desk is they're involved in propaganda that involves technology that was started since the internet. So if it was there before the internet, like shortwave radios and so forth, the New Media Desk is not involved. Their job mainly is to troll on the internet. They go to forums, they go to radio shows, they make comments, and we need to counter those comments, and that's part of what the ISC is going to be doing as we get going here a little better. So the reason why the guy has, he doesn't have a lot of burner phones. The guy has, and is working out of Israel, where there's this underground cable, we call it the backdoor to the money laundering, and they also use it for telecommunications, and they have an entire exchange in the United States that they can beat us with. They have several NPA and XXs, and it doesn't make any difference whether or not our people know this. When they hear this over there, they know we're on to them. So they just pick up the phone again and call, and a lot of times it just gives us, what it really is showing us is that there is deliberate plans to attack us. This is part of their war plan. This is coming from the IDF of Israel. And they are as American sounding, and they know, they think they know how to trigger us. Here's what's important. You know, expect it. The bottom line is, yeah, we would like to punch them in the nose, but big deal. These guys are little slime balls that if you actually met them in the alley, they wouldn't want to fight, right? They
don't doubt.
They hide behind the new technology because the Internet has become so anonymous, there's no accountability. And when there's no accountability, the natural instinct, the innate nature of people comes to the surface, and they behave from deep within inside them who they would like to become. And so they become snakes on the Internet.
Yeah, they reveal themselves for what they are.
Yeah, because they don't think there's a consequence. But really, by the time we get done with our ISC, and by the way, that group's going to become monstrous. We're going to be able to say, take this call into the radio station, and when they call in, we'll get their, if it's a VoIP phone, we'll get their IP address and exact location, and I doubt seriously that we'll see too many things from the U.S. except maybe for a station organization, maybe it'll be the ADL, maybe it'll be the Southern Poverty Law Center, but what they do is they set these things up in god-awful locations, as we call it colloquially, and they put up a folding table, and these guys sit in there a lot of times if they're from the States, and they slam us from a IP address that's temporary. It's some Jew's industries warehouse that he's rented, and they do that for a month or so, and they fold it up. And what we have to realize is they get to be tortured because it's just concrete, ugly, sometimes kind of cold. They think they're doing something great. But the bottom line to remember is that the IDF, that's the military of Israel, have actually sanctioned, paid for by us, of course, a division of their propaganda corps called the New Media Desk to do exactly what this is going on right now. Now, here's the good part. They think we bother them enough that they actually had to do that. I think that's great. But they haven't seen anything yet. Because we haven't even launched a war upon them in that venue, but we're going to. And then they're going to be in deep doo-doo, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Do you want to put out any information as far as the Israelite Signal Corps, which is what ICS stands for, by the way, folks? Do you want to just let them know that they can contact me and I'll forward it to you?
That'll be fine. Okay. You're interested in kind of becoming a soldier in what's being developed right now is a war against this very thing. And it won't be, no, don't worry. We're not getting guns out and going on doors and shooting them when they answer. We're not doing that. We are going toe-to-toe with them in the venues that they are putting in propaganda. They're going to be propagandizing. And then we're going to be counter-propagandizing. And by the time, if I have my way, by the time this is over, we'll be able to have IP addresses blocked by nation. We'll be able to have it blocked by venues. And if, as far as phone numbers, I have a VoIP phone because I could totally control this. And I have been harassed myself, having a radio show for about a long time. Anyway, what I do is I found out what these exchanges were, and I blocked the entire exchange, and it quit. And then I, of course, blocked the access to the website from hacking from those websites. So they have to go to a lot of trouble to establish another venue to put it in. They have to buy a new IP address, and it won't work to have just a VPN. So IDF, we know that trick. Don't even try it.
Hey,
yes, if you're...
Yeah, go ahead.
But in the meantime, I'd like to make a whole different topic, if I could, real quick.
Well, I just real quick here. It's probably he's going to prove your point here, but let me just check something real quick. Yeah, go ahead, 608.
Waterman's a Jewish boy.
Now, I did that for I cut him off in time. He didn't even get to finish your name. But I did that because it's proving that you are telling the truth, Doc. He's called from 6 different area codes, the same guy. Okay?
Wow.
6 different area codes. So he is a Jew. He's part of the new media desk, and he's doing exactly what you just said. So I just wanted to verify that for you and give you a testimony. Go ahead, Doc, with what you wanted to say.
Oh, you know, everybody, I've even had people inside CI call me Jewish because of my name. Well, I hope they're smart enough to know that that's my desk name. but it was given to me. Anyway, I take it. But it, if you really want to know, have to know, I'm a long ways from being Jewish. It's pretty funny. I really don't give a rip what he thinks.
Well, the thing of it is, again, we judge by the fruit.
Yeah, these guys are. They have no idea if what I have a desire in my heart to make happen for the remnant of Israel. These guys are going to end up being toast when we get things wrong. There are much more talented people than myself that are very interested in this. We just need to put it together. It's a big project, but it is actually occurring. So anyway, with that, I'll leave you guys to your to continue. I just wanted to throw my 2 cents in because this is very interesting. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, very good.
I'll let you guys. Okay, bye bye.
Yeah, take care. Yahweh bless. And I just as another aside there for Doc Waterman is heading up the Israelite Signal Corps. What that is Israelites all over the earth are volunteering to listen in with their radio equipment, whether it's the digital versions over the internet using computers or actual ham radios. They are gathering intel against our enemies and funneling it all back into a basically like a research group. And like Doc has said, we've got some very talented people. And along that same line, keep in prayers the former CIA William Binney, because he just came out with an announcement that there's over 100 former employees of the Alphabet agencies who are now whistleblowers. They have formed an organization to assist all whistleblowers and protect them and get this information out to the American public. So Yahweh bless their hearts. All of the men and women who have enough courage to stand against tyranny, we ask Father to bless them, because it's a very dangerous time to be speaking the truth. And we applaud those that have enough courage and enough foresight to see where this is all going, to know that now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. That used to be a sentence in our typing class, and now it means more than it ever did. Now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country. Hallelujah. Okay, Henry, we got about 7 minutes.
I'll accentuate that point. Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Amen to that, yeah.
mean, yeah, so it's been quite an experience. I've heard that, I don't know if, I've heard that those idiots call in before with their little shots here and there. Didn't experience it myself until today, but no bother. I probably will contact you regarding the last guy that called in. I've heard him a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. I've been meaning to contact you about that because I do feel like I want to get involved and do something.
If you want, I will send him your contact information. He can get a hold of you directly. Okay.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, I will do that.
And I'm,
well, I just wanted to say thank you to the Israelites that have responded positively to the call. I've been contacted by a number of listeners to the program who have done exactly that. They have gone out and contacted. I sent their information on to Doc, and Doc has added them to the ranks of those who are assisting in this effort to get the intel on what our enemies are up to. So, you know, brave hearts, I call them brave hearts, folks that are willing to actually do something and not just sit back and, you know, sit on their haunches and let somebody else do the fighting. This is a fight, folks. Get in the middle of the fight. I'm going to try this one more time, Henry. Hang on a second, but I've already got it logged here and I got it numbered. Is this our troll?
Henry's an old-time Jew.
He doesn't give up. So he's exactly what Doc said. He's sitting over, he's sitting in a dark and dank warehouse somewhere, part of this new media desk for the Jews, just causing trouble. I mean, here's another phone number with a whole different area code. So where does he come up with all these different numbers? Out of the computer. It's a software-driven thing. So it makes it appear like he's coming from all different areas of the country, but he's not. So they have used the modern technology to be trolls on programs like this. So it's the Jews again.
Working
the Jews
hard,
again.
Though.
Yeah.
He's a hardworking Jew boy, though, isn't he?
Yeah. I find it ludicrous. I mean, what did you do, Daddy? Daddy, what did you do at work today? Well, I trolled white Christians today because, you know, we are Jews and we are Antichrist. So I spent my day sitting in an office at a computer terminal trying to interrupt Christians talking about what we Jews are up to. That's what I did today.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something.
Makes a boy proud, yeah. Oh, my.
So with all this stuff going on with the March for Our Lives and the gun grab by the Zionists, I don't know. I'm seeing an awful lot of people that are very much aware. And the reason I brought up William Binney and his research group is because it's happening in a lot of areas. Our people are starting to get wise on how the Jews do what they do. And so now we have whole think tanks of people that are analyzing every event, just like this Parkland shooting. It's already been torn to pieces. It's another staged event, completely torn to pieces. Yeah. And the fact that this, Hogue guy is related to the Gonzalez girl, both of them have, sordid, parents that are tied in with federal agencies. So they are related. They're all part of the media. They're part of the alphabet soup gangs that are working against this country. They've got an agenda to disarm us. They're taking money from Zionists, World Zionists, and other communist organizations like Planned Parenthood. So, you know, Yahweh is revealing these people. Praise Yahweh for that. I mean, if he's revealing them and identifying them, it tells me that the fire is not far behind. So let's pray for the fire to come and consume them.
Amen. Yeah, it's just start Sandy Hook. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just keeps replaying until they get their goal is accomplished. But at least we're fighting back now.
Well, that's it. We're in a war, and we're now aware, as Sun Tzu said, you have to know yourself, and those of us of the identity message, we know who we are, so we have properly identified us. We've properly identified the King of Kings, and we are identifying our enemies and how they work and what mechanisms they use. And so Sun Tzu, His wisdom in that book has been studied in the War College and other military academies because it's very commonsensical, and it's been proven to be accurate. So if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you're virtually guaranteed success. Your enemy works by, that's why the Jews' motto, the secret service of Israel, is called the Mossad. The Mossad's motto is, by deception they'll make war. That's the only way a Jew can win, is by deception. They can't, just like with Christ, they couldn't face him in a real court. They'd get their asses handed to him. So they had to go through the back door. They always do that, by deception.
They don't change their ways. They've operated from the same playbook for centuries, and they'll never change because they are what they are.
Amen to that. And we're about out of time, Henry, so I'm going to have to let you go and say thank you for being on, and keep up the good work, and Yahweh bless, and I'll send your information off to Doc.
All right. Thank you much.
Take care, and Yahweh bless. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening here on Eurofolk Radio. We ask for your prayers and for you to keep looking for ways to help out, folks. We're in a war, whether you realize it or not. This is an all-out war, and you need to make up your minds. There is no fence. Yahweh is tearing that fence down. You can't sit on the fence on this one. You have to pick a side. This is the end times, so pick a side. And fight. All right. If you want to fight for the enemy, that's why Christ said, I wish you to be hot or cold. It's the lukewarm he cannot stand. Are you paying attention? He can't stand lukewarm. Pick a side. Join the fight. Yahweh bless each and every one of your sons and daughters this day, and we pray for your coming to be soon. We ask everything in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, our El Shaddai. Hallelujah.